Hi, my name is TJ. I'm an alcoholic. I'd like to thank you guys for the opportunity to be down here tonight. Welcome to all the newcomers that identified and the chip takers. My buddy Kevin here with 5 years. It was a big deal to get him to acknowledge that tonight. So, I absolutely love Alcoholics Anonymous. And if you don't believe me, I get it. I wouldn't have believed me at one point in time. My sobriety date is May 19th, 2015. My sponsor is Jim G. I have a home group on Monday morning, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning. And if that's odd to you, I get that too. It would have been to me at one point. I started drinking really young. I was introduced to alcohol probably 5 or 6. I was born into a family with an alcoholic father, alcoholic mother. Started socially drinking when I was 11. Got arrested for the first time drinking when I was 14. And then 2 more times that year. That threw me off. No, not really. I swear it didn't. I loved alcohol. I absolutely loved alcohol. I loved the effect produced by alcohol. I never felt comfortable. I always felt out of place, no matter where I was. If you invited me somewhere, I didn't want to go. If you didn't invite me, I wished you would have, so I could say no. I didn't really like people. I never got along with people. It's touchy now. I like people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. I really do love people in Alcoholics Anonymous. But I just always felt awkward and uncomfortable. And the minute I took something that made me feel different, I felt good. And I like most things that make me feel good in excess. So part of my story is a lot of other things that we try not to talk about in Alcoholics Anonymous due to the traditions. I'll fast forward through a bunch of it because I don't think my story is all that unique. But I originally got sober in 1999. And I was a complete train wreck. I flew home. I grew up in Minneapolis, and I flew home from Minneapolis. I got on the escalator at Harbor Airport in downtown in Phoenix. And if any of you have ever been there, it's like a 4-story escalator. And I had 2 garbage bags with all my stuff strapped over my shoulders. And about halfway through, the bags broke open, and I left all my stuff. And I got out on a plane. And came out of a blackout about halfway home, and was having a really interesting conversation with a woman next to me who was probably headed to the same place. And I got sober. And I didn't think at that point in time that sobriety was an option. I didn't think it was a possibility. I thought, you know, I did a bunch of geographics. I changed everything I could to try to avoid changing drugs and alcohol. And but I was on my way to treatment this time. You could make the argument that was to get the heat off. I had a little legal problem that I was facing, and my attorney suggested it might be a good idea to get into treatment to avoid that. So my initial idea was I would get the heat off and then figure it out from there. And at some point, I heard somebody share something, and I believed that maybe alcohol was a problem. So I went all in. I did everything that everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous asked me to do. I came to a ton of meetings. I worked the steps. If I deviate from anything tonight, working the steps is the only thing that I believe kept me sober. I don't think I had a shot without working the steps. I feel like through the steps, I formed a relationship with a higher power that today I still don't necessarily understand. I can't define it. But I believe in it, and I believe it's not me, most importantly. At about 8 years of sobriety, my life started getting good. I got a great job. At about 10 years of sobriety, I started getting a lot of things and a lot of material possessions that I didn't think I maybe ever had a shot at getting. And at about 11 years of sobriety, I started thinking, wow, this Alcoholics Anonymous is not really as convenient as it was at one point in time. Look at all this stuff I've done, and look at all this stuff that I've got. And that's generally the part of my story that I share about now because I think it's really important. You know, I think it's pretty obvious when you get here as a newcomer that you got a problem and you need to be here. And if it's not, we'll see you when you get back. You know, this program and the work in this program provided me a life that I never thought possible. And so I started thinking, like, wow, going to AA, like I've been going to AA, is not super convenient, you know, or every night or every morning or, you know. And started going to less and less meetings. I was still sponsoring some guys, but, you know, it just started to be kind of inconvenient. And my life was pretty good. And I started taking credit for it rather than giving this program credit for it. And so I share that because I always believe, and I hear a lot of people kind of in that mid-range of sobriety that start thinking, like, wow, my life's pretty good. Look what I've done. And 5 minutes. 5 minutes. So anyways, it wasn't very long. And my wife was pregnant with our second child. And I was in this phase of meetings are inconvenient. And maybe I've done a really good job at putting my life to get back together. And maybe I don't need this anymore. And somebody said to me, you know, I feel bad that you're sober and you don't get a reprieve once in a while. And I was like, wow, I feel bad for me and I don't get a reprieve once in a while either. And I think probably within 48 hours I had a medicinal marijuana card. And, you know, you can all figure out what happened without me talking about marijuana too much. So a little while into that, I thought, you know, this is working out and this is what I'm going to do and I don't have a problem with anything else, so I'm just going to do this. And then the moment happened, which talks about it in the big book a few places, but that moment happened where somebody offered me a drink and it was a tenth of a second decision in my head. You've been getting high for a while, why wouldn't you have a drink? And sure enough, I started drinking. And I stayed out for 3 years. And so I ended up going out with, I took a 13-year chip and went out with 13 years. And I thought that would never be possible. There was a time where I could tell you I sat in Alcoholics Anonymous and I thought, you know what, my last drink and the misery that I was in would keep me from ever using again. And that's not the case. I'm here to tell you that. I'm the spokesperson for don't do that. And and it wasn't long, you know, it wasn't long at all. That progression and that misery, and you know, we hear people talk about like my disease is doing push-ups in the back, in the back, and I'm like, oh yeah, right. That's what you have to say to a bunch of alcoholics, right? But all these things that we hear over the years that we think become cliche, and all these things that we're kind of like, well, whatever. That's not my case. I'm a little unique. You know, they all come true, and that's kind of the thing for me, and the theme that has been for me is that everything I've ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous is absolutely true. You know, granted, a few people that you don't want to believe everybody, but you know who you should believe. And, you know, I was out using, and I thought it was pretty good. I thought I was going to come back here and tell you guys how good it actually was, and it wasn't. I was miserable. I was fighting with people. I was waking up in the morning and fighting with people that I probably wouldn't see that day. But, you know, at 5:30 in the morning, why not get in a fight with someone in your head in the shower? I was mad at everybody. I was mad at the world. And I remember having a conversation in the kitchen with my wife, and I said, you know, the world is full of just horrible people, and everybody's out to get me, and everybody wants their own. And I was back in that space where all I could think about was me. I couldn't think about anything else in the world. I was just thinking about TJ, what a great guy I was, and what a short I was getting everywhere in life, and everything was really unfair. And I ended up having lunch with a guy in Alcoholics Anonymous, and we sat down and looked at each other, and he said, how you doing? And I completely broke down. And that was May 14th. So that day I decided that I wouldn't use anymore. That lasted about an hour. But, you know, I woke up on Tuesday morning. I went to our home group Tuesday night, Men's South Coast Hospital in Laguna Beach, and I stood up as a newcomer, and I've never been more uncomfortable in my entire life. And I felt completely defeated. I was humiliated. And somebody came up to me and said, we don't shoot our wounded. And the group surrounded me, and I have participated in that like my life depends on it for the last almost 5 years. And I honestly, at this point in time, you know, I say that I have six home groups generally because people think it's kind of funny and it's odd, but like this is, my life depends on this today, and I know that in a way that I never think I'd know that. And, you know, I went through the steps again with my sponsor. I had to put all my old ideas aside, anything that I thought I knew before aside. My sponsor actually said to me, I don't think I can work with you because I think you're going to think you know too much. And we see that a lot, right? You come back and you're like, well, I was there and I knew it. And I had to have a completely different experience. And I've had that. And I've had the opportunity to, you know, start a new life again. And I think that that's always provided in here. And if you're new and you're here, you know, because you have to be or because it's a requirement or because you have a court card signed, the only thing I can ever ask you to do is be open-minded. And, you know, I used to sit in meetings, think I knew everything in the big book and I could cross-reference the big book to the 12 and 12. And while that's fine, I mean, the big book really is laid out very specifically. And if you read it the way that it's written in order and go through the steps in order, it actually does work. And there's people that will tell you that on a regular basis, whether you want to hear it or not. You know, I just never thought I would be back in that place, and I was certain that I would never be back in that place based on my experience. The one thing that I do know and is 100% true to me is I cannot think my way into anything. I cannot think my way through the steps. I can't. I mean, I could have come in here and read steps 1 and 2, and come in here and talk some shit that sounded good, and you know, and made up a good story because I could bullshit my way through anything. But I actually have to go through the steps and have an experience. You know, the 12 steps actually has, the 12th step says having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, not like as a result of hearing a bunch of good stuff and latching on to the right people. You know, I mean, it really is true that my experience is based on doing the work. And I participate in Alcoholics Anonymous today, and it's a lot different than it ever was. I don't ever feel like I don't have 5 minutes to listen to somebody's story because I think somebody in here is going to help somebody. There's a bunch of different perspectives, and there's a bunch of different angles. But I think at the end of the day, when somebody's talking about the 12 steps and talking about working the program, I think they're onto something, and I try to latch onto that, and I try to surround myself. And you know, having the opportunity to come down here with these guys tonight, honestly, we sat in 2.5 hours of traffic. I woke up this morning at 8 o'clock, and I thought about, you know, we got to go down to San Diego tonight. I thought about calling Jim, telling him how sick I was. I just really didn't want to do it. And then we looked at the map, and it was 2.5-hour drive, and I'm like, really, dude? You know, can't you get us out of this? But, you know, we sat in 2.5 hours of traffic and we laughed the whole time. And my life is all about AA today. Newcomers, if that's awkward, and I get it. I didn't want to do this. I promise you that if you're here and you're hearing my message and you're like, this guy's probably full of it, I thought the exact same thing. I really did. And you're going to keep thinking that until you do something differently. You know, the action that is provided for us to take and the experience that's given to us by other people in here is actually really incredible. But we can't will you to do it. We can't talk you into doing it. You can think about doing it. You can say it's a great idea. But until you actually do it, you will not have a change. And that's my experience. I absolutely love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love the opportunity to do things like this. I love the guys that I came down here with. And I hope you're able to have that experience because it's truly changed my life. And I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much.